make your way out. And we are in Genesis 27. Genesis 27. We get down through the first four or five verses here last time. Let's just start at the top, verse 1, and read for context here. At this point, Isaac has settled into the land. Of course, Esau and Jacob are twins, and they're settled as well, but there have been some bad developments, and off we go into some more here. Verse 1, it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Well, he had those boys when he was 60, right? And the boys are now 40 years old. So he's at least around 100 years old. He lives to be 180, by the way. Where is that? Chapter 35, somewhere here. Yeah, 35, 28. So, at around 100, Isaac's talking about dying, but yeah, he still lived another 80 years. 35, 28, and the days of Isaac were 104 years. So, he lived quite a while after this incident. If things are in chronological order, I'm not really sure what that's all about. But anyway, verse 3. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, which such as I love, bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison to bring it. And again, we've discussed last time some how Isaac loved Esau for the venison, for the savory meat that he made, whereas Rebekah loved Jacob. So you've got a conflict going on here. And down, starting in verse 6, among other things, there are lessons here of all around, but one of the things you learn some lessons about is the fruits of eavesdropping. Verse 6, Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now, just listening to her talk there, what's your impression? If you know the Bible, you know, but how old do you think Jacob is? I mean, from the way this is going, it sounds like she's talking to a 14-year-old or an 18-year-old. At this juncture, folks, Jacob and Esau are 40 years old. Look in chapter 26. And again, some of this may not be in perfect chronological order, so give or take a few years maybe, but notice verse 34 of chapter 26. Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of another Hittite. Well, they're twins, so both these kids, are 40 years old. And here's Mama talking to Jakey Poo about obey my voice and do this and do that and do the other. So here you have this 40-year-old man in the tent saying, But Mama, but Mama. Kind of an unseemly, unsightly thing, huh? Look in verse 8. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Mama, maybe you should get your claws out of your son before he's 40 years old. Verse 9. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Now, what is going through her head, I guess, is when you go back a few chapters, he says, look, there are twins in thy womb, right? And there's two nations in there, in fact. And what are going to come out of your womb is two nations, and the elder brother is going to serve the younger brother, right? So when she hears Isaac say, I'm going to bless Esau, the elder brother, the most spiritual thing you can make out of this is that she says, oh no, Daddy-O is going to mess up. So I've got to fix it. I've got to be God's little helper and make sure God doesn't get fooled and that God gets this right. Now, you know, the sad part is, I really don't think that the Lord was going to allow Esau to go get venison and then get blessed by Jacob. I think the Lord was going to do something. I don't know exactly what, because obviously this happened, right? But this is a great lesson on, among other things, inserting yourself in things where you ought to be praying instead. And remind, you know, just think back, ladies, to the thing, whole thing with 1 Peter 3. And remember that God knows where your husband lives and sleeps, right? He's got to sleep sometimes, and God can sneak up on somebody with a 2x4 sometimes. And just remember that the next time you're going to be God's little elf, you know, slipping around, making sure that, you know, like a fairy god princess or whatever, tooth fairy, whatever, you know, making things right, just remember, God knows what He's doing, and maybe you should stay out of it, right? So instead, she gets in this, and she starts engineering stuff. This is a great lesson on eavesdropping, a great lesson on engineering. By the time this thing is over with, Rebecca, is bereaved of two sons because Esau is mad at mom and dad for what he thinks they've done to him, right? And in the meantime, he's going to kill Jacob. So Jacob's gone, and Rebecca says, just go for a few days, and I'll call you back when things are right. Look, Jacob never came back when she was alive, all right? I mean, this thing cost her the love of one son and the companionship of the other, because he never came back. Those days she talks about later on drew into years and years and years. He served Laban first 7 years, then 7 years more. And by the time it's all over with, Rebecca's dead and didn't see her son again. Back to verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebecca, his mother, behold, and here's a great lesson. This is a great passage to look at as far as, and, you know, remember I said a couple months ago, preaching that message, it's not a still, comma, small voice, right? It's a still, small voice. Remember that? Elisha says, these things are going on. He says, well, then there came a still, small voice. Okay, it's not a still, comma, small voice. It's a still, small voice. But a lot of times, God the Holy Spirit and your conscience deals with you through a small voice. And when that voice said, Jacob, this is not right, Jacob should have listened, right? Verse 12. Verse 11. Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. I mean, surely Isaac's going to know when I kneel down before him, and I don't have any hair on my neck, back, or shoulders, or arms. He's going to feel me and know I'm not Esau, Mom. What are you going to do about that? Well, she has an answer, of course. Verse 12, my father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Well, what do you think you are, pal, that I may seem to him? That's why I think maybe in some regards, this pair actually think they're doing God a favor, that the entire will of God for those two boys is going to get messed up because Isaac's going to bless the wrong one, as according to the prophecy that was given to Rebekah. Now, I don't think that was going to happen, right? But listen, it is not your job to change the courses of prophecy, right? God knows what He's doing. In the meantime, look, if Isaac's going to mess up, Rebekah, why don't you go confront him and talk to him about it instead of trying to deceive him about it, right? If you're concerned that Isaac is getting off track, go to Isaac and say, look, I think you're getting off track here. Remember what the Lord said to me when the twins were in my womb? Instead of trying to deceive the old man when he's blind and can't taste stuff right, why are you doing that? Why don't you go see him? Did you know that some people will avoid confrontation at just about all costs? They would rather do anything than sit down and talk something out and say, look, I got a problem. We need to talk about this. You know what? There's an awful lot of times those things are not enjoyable at all. But young folks, look, I mean, I know you're accustomed to, and I believe you do, honor authority, that sort of thing. But you know what? If you've got a problem, go to an adult and talk to them. Don't play this game of trying to manipulate things and get things back your way. And sometimes, you know, folks, husbands and wives have terrible times with this stuff. We've seen homes down spiral and go down the tubes because mama-san refuses to deal with something she needs to deal with. And for that matter, papa-san does as well. Some folks would rather do anything than face off, face to face, and work something out. That is not a good characteristic. I guarantee you this, God the Holy Spirit will get in your face and confront you with something. You need to be willing, if it comes to that, to doing the same thing for your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, or your kids, right? If you are more scared of your kids than they are of you, parents, you're in bad shape. Did you know that? If you are more intimidated by your teenager's teenage-ship, and sometimes the teenage years can be pretty intimidating, even for parents, because you know you don't have all the answers, right? You know you didn't do everything right. You know you have your own sins. You know those things. I understand that. But listen, if you allow them to intimidate you so that you are kind of meek and, cowardly. Yes, that's not a bad word. Too cowardly to deal with the thing. Now look, you know, you can do this heavy-handedly, and it can be a real disaster if you just go in and kick the door in every 3 days. That doesn't work. I understand that. But look, you ought to be able to talk to your kids. Kids, you ought to be able to talk to your parents. If you go and talk to your parents and they refuse to talk back, okay, they have a problem. All right? But I'm telling you, you need to learn to communicate. And here is Rebecca. And she's in love with Isaac. She's born children for Isaac. They've been married just about forever. And she's going to send her kid in to deceive that old man so that she gets it her way, so that it can be put the way that she thinks it ought to be, when God was going to do it right anyway, right? So it's a bad thing. Go talk to Isaac. Go down to verse 12. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. So maybe they thought they were genuinely God's little servants in this and helping God out to get this knot untangled. I'm not really sure. But Jacob, you are a deceiver. And so is Mama. And sometimes Mama turns Jacob into a deceiver, right? By the time this is over, Jacob is one of the great finaglers in the Word of God. He is always engineering and manipulating things so that things come out in his favor. Remember the speckled and spotted sheep a little bit later, where he conceived this breeding program whereby he puts these peeled rods into the water trough, and somehow that manages to bring out speckled and spotted kids on the backside, literally, when they're born, and he gets to keep all the speckled and spotted. Well, by the time it's over with, he's stolen most of the flock, and you say, well, that was God blessing him. No, that was a guy manipulating stuff, so he thinks he can manipulate everything. There are guys and women, for that matter, in this world who think they can manipulate everything in their favor. I got news for you. You can't. You may be pretty good at it, but there will come a day that you're at the end of your rope. And there came a day that Jacob, a daughter was dragged home to him defiled. And, okay, Jake, what's your plan now, right? And then when he gave the right answer, he had two sons that went in and killed that entire village, that entire town of men that did that to his daughter, and now Jacob's a murderer. What's your plan, Jacob? How are you going to put all those things right? There comes a day that they come in and say, look, Jake, your favorite son is dead. He was eaten by a lion. He doesn't know it's not true. What are you going to do now, Jacob? Right? Look, folks, if you're going to spend your lifetime trying to engineer stuff, trying to manipulate people, trying to manipulate circumstances, I will guarantee you God will bring you to an end of yourself. Then you will wind up with questions that you do not have answers for, as if you had answers for any of them anyway. It's just true. It's true. The Lord has a way of bringing you to an end of yourself. Down to verse 12. I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Look, think about this. Now, how do you think? Do you think like Jacob? I mean, here's your mom. She says, here's your friend. Not a mom this time. It's a friend. Do wrong. Deceive your parents. Do you say, but here's what's wrong with the plan. He'll figure it out. Or do you say, no, it's wrong? Do you hesitate to do something because you're afraid of getting caught and there ought to be a better plan? Or do you have concerns about this plan because it's wrong, right? And then further down in verse 12, I shall seem to him as a deceiver. I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Is the only reason you don't do some things that you might get caught or that you might be cursed for it? Now, probably at some juncture or another with some of our sins individually, it probably is that way. If I wasn't concerned about being caught, or I wasn't concerned about the Lord whacking me with a 4x4, maybe I would go ahead and do it. If I thought I could get away with it, right? But if you operate on those two things where, no, there's got to be a better way to do this, there has to be a better plan, I might get caught, or else, down in verse 12, I might bring a curse upon myself. Look, you need to do things for the right reason. It's right or it's wrong. If it's right, do it. If it's wrong, don't do it. And quit savoring the taste of the possibility that if there's a better way to do it, maybe we could engineer a way to get away with it. That's a dangerous thing. Verse 13. His mother said to him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. That is the goats. Okay, upon me be thy curse. Yeah, okay, fine. In some ways, upon her was the curse by the time it's all said and done. Like I said, she's bereaved of one son because he goes and marries Hittites and is mad at mom and dad. On the other hand, he's going to kill Jacob, so she has to send Jacob out of town for what she thinks are days, and it winds up being the rest of her lifetime, right? So maybe the curse is on her, because if you run the word Rebecca in the concordance, you'll find out that she only shows up like two other times than in this passage after this. I mean, she dies, we don't even know how or when or why, and she's kind of dropped off the map, right? Now, by the way, she was not the only one cursed. She did not bear all the curse. Jacob was the one that wound up with the son that he was deceived about his death by what? Goat's blood, right? These goats are killed here to deceive Isaac when he couldn't see. So there came a day that Jacob was deceived about a wife that he couldn't see, Leah. Remember? And he was also came to a day when he was deceived by goat's blood that he thought was Joseph's. And furthermore, there came a day that his own daughter was defiled and he had no answers. So upon whom was the curse? Looks like Mama and Jakey Poo both shared the curse, right? Verse 14. And he went and fetched, in spite of the guilty conscience, in spite of the still small voice whispering in his ear saying, don't do it, don't do it, this isn't going to work out. He went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. Now, I'm sorry, but old Isaac must have been in pretty bad shape. I mean, seriously. When your kid is so hairy that he feels like a goat, well, I guess there are some guys like that, but it just kind of strikes me as funny. Anyway, verse 17, she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared under the hand of her son Jacob. So it's not even the same meat, it's not even venison, which is what he loves. Verse 18, and he came unto his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, who art thou, my son? Now again, this is a little bit of a study of conscience, of a still small voice. And here is Isaac sitting there, and he goes, who are you? He said, I'm Esau, you liar. But right away, Isaac picks up on something, that something's not quite right. Yet he still winds up going all the way through this thing and doing it just according to plan, right? You need to listen to your conscience. You know full well, and I can testify of myself, I know full well there are times that I have a still small voice speaking in my ear, and I go ahead anyway. One day, you will be sorry that you did not listen to that still small voice. Okay? Just because it's still small doesn't mean it's not powerful. Just because it's still small doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to it. Because you should, and there will be a day that you wish you had. How many 40-plus-year-old people in this room could raise your hand and say, boy, how I wish I'd listen to the still small voice? Here we are, yeah. How many adults in this room sometimes wind up awake at 2 in the morning thinking about possible consequences one day of not listening to a still small voice? Oh, yeah. Somebody's hand up that I didn't ask for there. Paul, go ahead. Yeah. Have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And you can sear that conscience, you can defile the conscience. I don't know the exact, precise relationship, but the conscience is at least in part a function of the Holy Ghost, right? You have the Holy Ghost in you that bears witness to the truth and bears witness to sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he doesn't always scream. Sometimes he whispers, and you need to listen to the whisper, okay? If I really had power, that light would come back on. Verse 18, okay. Who art thou, my son? So Isaac himself has some questions in his mind about what's going on. Verse 19, look where the defiled conscience leads you. Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Lie, number one. I have done according as thou badest me. Lie, number two. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison. It's goat. Lie, number three. When you lie three times in one sentence, you're in bad shape, amen? All right, Verse 19, I have done according as thou badest me. I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, still got issues, doesn't he? How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? I mean, you haven't been gone but a few minutes, and you've already tracked, stalked, killed, gutted and cleaned a deer, brought it back, cooked it, and brought it in here with biscuits and gravy, and it ain't even been 30 minutes. How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Piety. When you lie three times in one sentence and then are pious about it, you know you're getting further and further down the track. You're becoming a compulsive liar. Verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. So he's still not sure. I mean, Isaac is as guilty of defiling in his own way his conscience as Esau, or Jacob is, right? Verse 22. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. And he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So he went by what he felt instead of what he heard. We walk by faith and not by sight, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Guess what? You're supposed to walk by what you hear, not what you feel or what you see. It's a great lesson. Verse 23. What'd I say? Ooh. I'm feeling it too. We're going to start punctuating my points with stage lights. Verse 23. I got fog makers ordered too. Just kidding. Steve. Yeah. Verse 23. And he discerned him not. So he really, in a way, did discern him. He discerned something was wrong, but he didn't go ahead and flush him out, right? So sometimes you know something's wrong, but you don't flush it out. I would advise you against accepting a doctrine that you have real questions about, that you have, maybe you don't understand quite exactly what's wrong, but don't walk past a still small voice saying, you ever notice there's a certain ring to the truth? I mean, I'm not saying, don't believe something due to something mystical as a ring versus a gong, okay, but have you ever noticed that when somebody stands up preaching the Bible and really hits it right, you go, yeah, and you know it's right. Ever hear somebody hit one wrong? I suggest you don't ignore those sounds. Verse 23, and he discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, again, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Again, Isaac has conscientious issues, and once again, Jacob lies. So, by the time you get over to Genesis 32, and Jacob is on the run, runs into that angel, the angel of the Lord, what does the angel ask him? What is thy name? Right? My name isn't Esau. My name is Jacob, the supplanter. Right? Verse 25. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near him, and he did eat, and he brought him a wine, and he drank. And so I'm sitting here thinking, boy, here is Isaac, and he's not even with it enough to be able to tell which son is in the room with him, right? Even though he's still like 80 years from dying or whatever, as it turns out. But he can't discern the difference between goat and venison. And so Jacob has to sit there through this entire meal. He's going to eat his meal before he blesses Jacob, right? He's got to sit through this entire meal knowing he's a deceiver, watching his father stuff his gullet with meat that he lied about, right? I bet Jacob was a nervous wreck by the time that thing was over with. Don't you imagine? I bet by the time that he finally blessed him, I bet Jacob was out the door like that. Because I bet he's nervous. Look in verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him. And he, Isaac, smelled the smell of his raiment. Isaac smelled the smell of Jacob's raiment. So again, he's still questioning this identity deal. He's still got a still small voice in the back of his head going, "Something's not right here." He just goes right ahead. Verse 27. "Smell the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him and said, 'See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed.'" I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in having on Esau's raiment. It'd be like putting on Wilt Chamberlain's dirty basketball uniform. I don't want to smell like Wilt Chamberlain. I presume he stinks. Verse 28. "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee." Now remember, here is Isaac. Isaac is blessing someone he thinks is Esau. And he's saying, "Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee, and be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee." Isaac, where were you? Look in Genesis 25. Genesis 25, 23. Now, I don't question here that God says this to Rebekah, but surely he said something to Isaac as well, right? Is Isaac really that forgetful? He is blessing the son he thinks is Esau, the elder brother, knowing full well what God told him all those years ago. Verse 23 of chapter 25, "Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.'" And here he's saying in verse 29 of chapter 27, "You, Esau," he thinks he's Esau, "older brother, be lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee." I mean, this guy walked right away from what he knew God had said. Now, did he forget? I guess we're pretty forgetful, aren't we? Sometimes we forget what an honor it is to have the birthright that we do. And so that's why folks sometimes sell out the birthright. Verse 29, "Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, that Jacob headed out the door." That's in the Hebrew. Because you know he was ready to get out of there, right? He sat there for 20 minutes while Isaac trundles food down his gullet and sops up gravy and all that kind of thing. He's saying, "Would you hurry?" Looking out the door all the time, waiting for Esau to come back in with a deer and a lance or a bow and arrow. Verse 30. "And Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me.' And Isaac his father said unto him, 'Who art thou?' And he said, 'I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau.'" What a thing, right? How would you like to live with your older brother having pulled that stunt? Right? Verse 33, "And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed.'" I mean, there are some words that can't be returned. And when a patriarchal member of the Trinity of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob pronounce a blessing, I mean, it's a blessing. And it's not reversible. This one wasn't. Verse 34, and I got news for you. There are words that you say that aren't reversible either. You got to remember that. Somebody said one time that gossiping and so on is like standing on a bell tower and scattering a pillow full of feathers to the wind and then trying to go back out and regather all the feathers when you decide that you shouldn't have said what you said. And that's the way it goes. Back to verse 34. No, I'm sorry, verse 33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? I've eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Isaac, or Esau rather, heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And this, I believe, at least in part, is what it refers to back in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Esau is broken and tearful. Hebrews 12. And notice where Esau is categorized here. Verse 16. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." And that place of repentance is not saying that Esau couldn't have repented and been forgiven for his sin, but what he found no place of repentance in the idea that when he repented, God would not reverse the decision. Okay? So next time you think about this, think about, okay, I can go ahead and do this thing, this sin, because God will forgive me, because God is merciful, God is loving, right? I believe that's true. You get your heart right with God, God will forgive you if you repent. That doesn't necessarily reverse the effects, right? And that's a thing. That's why we always say, you know, it's one thing to be forgiven all your sins. It's another thing to still have to reap for some of the things you did. And sometimes you will. And so saying, you know, "Oh God, forgive me. You know, I know now I messed up." Even though you knew then you messed up and you went ahead anyway, just remember there may come a day that while you can repent and be forgiven, maybe the effects aren't reversed. I pray a lot for crop failure for me. I pray that some of the things I do, have done, will result in crop failure. Because I don't want to see them come to fruition, right? And God does that a lot too. God is merciful. God is good. I'm thankful for it. But not always. Not that He's not always good. He doesn't always reverse the effects. Right? All right. Genesis chapter 27. And notice verse 34, "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father." So, he's pretty self-centered himself, isn't he? Bless me, even me also. He said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me." What does Jacob mean? Supplanter, right? Means to take something that's not yours. "For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright." Oops! Hang on there, pal. You were selling. You came in, you were willing to sell your birthright for a bowl of stew. So, yeah, Jacob is a rascal for buying. But you're a rascal for selling too, right? So, Jacob's to blame, but Esau, you know, you got what's coming. Verse 36, "He supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." It wasn't your blessing. Your father promised you the blessing, and it wasn't yours. it should have been Jacob's anyway. I believe Jacob would have been the one to get that blessing anyway, right? Maybe Esau would have gone out and gotten gored by a deer that day. I'm not really sure. All I'm saying is that it wasn't Esau's blessing. The blessing was the younger brother's blessing from the Lord's mouth from the very start, from the womb, right? Verse 36. He hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord, which the Lord had already made be the case anyway, right? Back in Genesis 25. I have made him to be thy Lord. All his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Now this stuff came to pass. Look in 2 Kings 8:20. 2 Kings chapter 8 and go down to verse 20. Talking about late, relatively late anyway, in Israel's or Judah's history. Verse 20, and in his days Edom, that is Esau, revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves. So Joram went over to Zair and all the chariots with him, and he rose by night and smote the Edomites which compassed him about, and the captains of the chariots and the people fled unto their tents. Yet Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. Then Libnah revolted at the same time. So there came a day that Edom did break the bond of his brother. Back down to Genesis 27:41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. So it wasn't just that he had stolen the blessing, it was the fact that his father had given him the blessing, which if Esau was a Bible believer from the start, he would have known that that was Jacob's blessing anyway. Sometimes folks hate other folks because of the way God blesses them. Verse 41. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Really? I figure that Isaac's about 100 years old. He lives to be 180. So maybe we're wrong about that, huh? Then will I slay my brother Jacob. He's going to kill him. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. Here's Rebekah, once again, eavesdropping, or at least getting news by ear. And so she comes up with another plan, right? She sent and called Jacob, her younger son, said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now, remember what Esau said. He said, I think my dad's going to die soon, so when the days of his mourning are over, then I'm going to kill Jacob, right? Esau's days of mourning did not come for another 80 years. If Esau had stuck by his word, and if Rebekah had kept her nose out of it, she could have had fellowship with Jacob for the next 80 years. Instead, what happened? Instead, off he goes into the far country for a few days. Those few days bleed out into years and decades and years and years and years. Maybe you should keep your nose out of it, right? Verse 42, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. She went and called Jacob, her younger son, said to him, Behold, thy brother Jacob, or Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Yet now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Oh boy, did he get in trouble the first time with that, right? Rise, flee thou to Laban, my brother in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Well, it was a lot more than a few days. Verse 45, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee and he forget that which thou hast done to him. How about that? Mama-san comes up with a plan, but look what you did to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. So remember, Esau had married the daughters of Heth back in, wherever that was, back in chapter 26 at the end of the chapter. And so she's playing this daughters of the land card. I'm just tired of my sons being co-opted by these wicked women. So she's playing that card, but the real reason she's sending him away is she got him in trouble, and now Esau wants to kill him. Right? Back to verse 46. I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, the Hittites, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? So she's a little bit of a martyr herself. Oh, I'm so burdened because of the marriage of Esau to the Hittite women. Oh, I can't have my young baby marry a Hittite woman. And even though I deceived you by his hand, I think we should send him away for a few days. Turned out to be a lot more than a few days, right? Questions or comments? Tom. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore are the hearts of the sons of men fully set in them to do evil. Yes, Bryce. Yes.
And just because we do something when we didn't listen doesn't mean it won't be visited upon us in due time.
That's right.
Because it's God's time. He's going to do it.
Yeah.
And by then, we may have already forgotten what we've been done.
Yeah. Amen. Anything else? Let's stand again. Brother Dave, go ahead.
Yes, real quick. Is there any record that Jacob even ever saw Rebecca again? Mom?
I don't think so. When Isaac died, were the boys there? Genesis 35, real quick.
Yeah, I think they both buried him.
When did Isaac bury Rebekah? When did she die? I didn't check that. Say it again. Yes, yeah, it's mentioned that she was buried there, but I don't know. I don't even know if we know when Rebekah died? Nobody knows for sure. I can promise you I'll look it up, all right, because now I'm scared that I've been teaching you wrong all night. But Isaac dies in 35:28. Esau and Jacob both buried him there.
They came together before then, didn't they?
I need to look and find out when Rebekah died. I don't know offhand.
But Esau and Jacob met and came together before then, because I can't remember exactly, was there a place where Esau and Jacob were coming together and they were
right?
Yeah, and then Jacob said, I'll follow you. Then he goes off another direction, deceived his brother again. We'll get to that later. Yes, sir.
I could have said that I've done years ago, I've done chronology from Genesis all the way up to Jesus. I could check at home.
Okay. Oh, it's no problem to find out when Rebecca died. I can find that, no problem. Yes, sir.
It says 35:19, it says, and Rachel died and was buried. And then verse 20, and Jacob set a pillar upon it, doesn't say nothing about
Yeah, that's Rachel.
Rachel, okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's Rachel, not Rebecca. Saw that earlier. Anybody know when Rebecca died? No? I'll find out. I'll let you know in a little bit. I get my computer. All right, let's open up and sing one more before we go. How about number 149? Encourage you to come out to visitation if you would at 11 on Saturday, and there are camp forms back there once again. So please take that, get that taken care of. Let's pray. Father, pray for your blessing on the rest of the week. We certainly pray that Ian has a restful night here tonight, and give him, Father, help him to come on out of from under anesthesia without problems or complications. Grateful for what you did there today. We pray you'll continue to bless the doctor's work there. And Father, we're grateful for your watch care over all of us here. We're asking you to be with folks that are under the weather and all the things that are at hand, Father, that trouble our hearts. Father, we pray you'd give us comfort in these things. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.